Oasis, we're going to talk about Christ within, something that is a powerful truth that so often we think about it, we think, yeah, Jesus is with me, but we don't really think about the depth of what has taken place in our life when we received Christ, when we opened our hearts and allowed Him to come in. So let's start with prayer. Father, we just thank You for Your Word this morning. I pray that You anoint Your Word, Father, as You already have, Lord. Thank You for that. Thank You for anointing it to penetrate our hearts, Lord, that as we read Your Word and Your Scriptures, that it will jump off the page to us and speak deeply to us, Lord, bringing about godliness and change in our life, Lord, if needs to be, and that You'll use it as an encouragement for us, Lord, to walk in faith and to stand strong in Christ, Father. We love You and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, let me ask you a question. Who would like $1,000 in cash? Anybody? Could you use that? Okay. Now, who wouldn't, right? That's a good question. Who wouldn't? Probably each one of us would say, yeah, I could use that. Well, if I determined to give someone $1,000 cash, when could they go and spend it? If I just talked about it and said, I'm going to give you this, I'm going to give it to you, maybe someday I'll give it to you, and I talk about it like that, could they go and buy groceries with it? Could they go and pay the rent? Okay, no. But once I give it to them, once I handed that money over, and they take it and they put it in their wallet or they tuck it away in their purse, as soon as church was over, they could go and buy whatever they wanted, right? They could go to the grocery store, they could go, you know, pay a debt, they could do whatever. So it takes that actually having it in their hand in order to actually do something with it. Well, today, there's many, many Christians that have the power of Jesus Christ in their wallet, in their possession, and yet they're not spending it. They're still waiting to receive something that, you know, once this comes into my life, once I have the understanding on this, once I whatever, then I can go and spend it. And yet, God has already given us through Jesus what He was going to give us, what He is giving us. Okay, our first scripture today is in Revelation. I think we might have even read it a couple weeks ago. In Revelation 3:20, Jesus says this. If you look in your Bible, it's probably in red in your Bible, meaning the words of Jesus. It says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him, and I will sup with him, and he with me. Okay, Jesus said, I'm standing at the door and I knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens that door, I will come in unto him and I will sup with him and he with me. Okay, well, that word sup is a King James word, and it literally means to partake of the main meal. Okay, that's to sup with someone, was to partake of the big feast of the day. Okay, and in Jesus' day, it was most often the evening meal. That's what it meant. To sup with someone meant, I'm going to sit down with them and eat the main meal. It meant that they were going to spend a considerable amount of time with you, okay? It was, you know, it wasn't like just going to grab a sandwich and then going out the door, okay? To sup with someone meant that they were going to sit down. They were going to hang out. They were going to fellowship. They were going to enjoy one another's company, okay? How many have opened that door for Jesus in here? Okay, how many have done that? How many of us have opened our life and said, yes, come in and sup with me. Come in and fellowship with me. Okay, probably most. You know, we're in a church. I mean, the idea should be that most of us have opened that door already. Okay, how many have invited Jesus in for the main meal? Right? You gave up, you know, you said, you know what? I give my life unto Jesus. I open that door and let him come in, and we're gonna fellowship. We're gonna do this together. Okay? How many have received, you know, opened up your life and received Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Okay, anybody? Okay, a few heads nodding, yeah. I mean, we definitely have. I know that I have. I've opened that door. I said, Jesus, come into my life. Take it over. My life is yours, right? We give it to Him. We understand that He wants to come in and do that. And I believe if you're a believer today that, you know the same as I do, that Jesus Christ lives within me. It wasn't something that, you know, now he's just standing next to me, but I invited him in to come inside of me. And that's really where the beginning of this, the title of it, Christ Within, comes from that. Because we've opened that door, we've invited him to come in and sup with us, and yet sometimes we're acting like he's not there. We're acting like he's not in us, like he's still outside the door waiting to come in, but we've already invited him in. When the Apostle Paul addressed the Corinthian church, at one point he kind of got after them. Okay, because Paul was good at exhorting. I mean, that's one of the things he did. But he kind of exhorted them because they were believers. They believed on Jesus. And yet their life, the kind of life that they were living, the kind of fruit that was being produced through their life or lack thereof, okay, was more of an expression of doubt and unbelief than it was an expression or an example of a faith-filled Christian. So he kind of exhorted them, and here's what he said to them when he exhorted them, was this question, 1 Corinthians 3:16. This is what Paul said. He's telling them, your life is not, you're not exactly demonstrating what a faith-filled Christian should look like. And he says, know ye not that you're the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Okay, now I think of that sometimes as a pastor, or I think it's just being a Christian, but sometimes, you know other Christians and you look at their life and you think, wow, how can they do that stuff? Don't they know that they have Jesus inside of them? Don't they know that Jesus has come into their life, and yet they're acting like he's not even part of their life? They're out, partaking, doing all kinds of nastiness and thinking it's okay for whatever reason, but they're not acting like they have the Holy Spirit of God within them. And so that's the exact same thing. That's what Paul was saying. He said, know you not? You're doing this and you're doing that. He said, know you not that you are the temple of God and that you have the Spirit of God within you? And so he questioned them in that way. Okay, Margie and I love to remind people about how much God loves them. I think it's something that is lacking in the church. But just equally important, we believe it is to remind people that they are not weak. They are not lacking in power. They're not lacking in anything. They don't have to live in defeat because the Holy Spirit of God lives within them. Everything that they need, every need that they have was met through Jesus Christ. He has come to give us that. And now that Spirit of the living God that we serve lives right inside of us. You are the temple, right? You are the temple of God. You are that sacred place, that sacred shrine of God. The literal dwelling place of God Himself is inside of you. Jesus knocked at the door and He said, I hear your voice, Lord, come on in. And when you did that, you invited Him in and He became part of your life. God is unlimited in power, right? Is God limited? Is there anything too difficult for God? The Bible says no. Okay, is there anything that is too much for Him that He can't handle? No. So He is unlimited in power. He is unlimited in strength. He is unlimited in peace. So the only thing that is restraining Him from manifesting more through your life is the limitations that you and I put on Him. He is unlimited. He lives inside of us. So if my life is not manifesting the things of God, it's not God. Okay, God is there. He's all God, right? So if I just allow Him to begin to do these things, then it's going to begin to come through us. I believe you will grow in faith. You will influence more people. You will walk in the Spirit when you begin to allow God to live through you. Instead of living for God, we live from God. We allow that His Spirit that lives within us to flow freely. The Christian life and the mature Christian life is not lived for God, but it is lived from God. He has empowered me. He has given us the strength to overcome. He gives us that peace. And we can live from that instead of living for God. And that's so often Christians are trying to do things to please God. And I know I talk a lot about the grace of God, but if we're trying to do things to earn a place with God, or we're just trying to live out our life in a way that we just don't want to displease God, so then we're doing the right things, or whatever it is. I know people that will work in homeless shelters or do different things, and it's really about serving some kind of a need on their side. They think that that's going to put them in a right place because it's the right thing to do with God, so they're going to go and do that. The reality is that when and sometimes that's great. I mean, God will begin to speak to people, and He wants you to minister to people. Don't count that out. But when we do it out of a wrong motive, we're doing it with our intention. We're trying to do it for our personal gain instead of just allowing the flow of God to minister His love and His grace unto the people around us. You know, when the Apostle Paul wrote to the Colossians about the good news of Jesus, he's writing to them about the gospel. He told them about the greatest mystery that was in the kingdom of God. And he says it was once hidden, it was kind of hard to understand, but now it has been revealed unto the saints of God. It has been opened up so that the mystery of God, the deep part of God, the power of God has been revealed unto us. And it really is quite simple. Look at Colossians chapter 1. Verse 26 and 27. He's talking about the mystery. He says, in the capital letters, obviously is me. I put that on there so you'll be able to see the beginning and the end of this verse. But even the mystery, which has been hid from the ages and from generations, but now it is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of his mystery among the Gentiles, which is what? Christ in you. That's the mystery of God. That's the fullness of the power, the majesty, everything that he has is Christ in you. It's about him coming to live inside of his people. It's about him empowering you from the inside out. It's not about living out, how can I be a better person, do these. It's about getting him inside and letting him begin to live through you, that he will live out from the inside out. That's the way he designed it. He said he would write his laws on the fleshy tables of our heart so that we could obey them from the inside out. They're not posted on a wall anymore for us to obey. They're in here. And that's where he's saying the hope of glory, the power of God, the mystery of God is Christ in you. It's in us. That's where he lives. That's where he wanted to come to get in there, to get us to be able to do the things that need to be doing. You know, so often as a lost person, you know, it talks about in the scripture that God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, okay? Now, Gentiles were thought of as people that just didn't know God, right? Just like we were before we received Christ. To us as an unbeliever, I remember the days, you know, where is God? Well, he's out there somewhere. He's out there in heaven. You know, if you look up beyond those stars, you know, heaven's pretty big, right? So beyond the stars, that's where God is. He's out there. Even, and I'm not putting down Peyton Manning, but even Peyton referred to the man upstairs, right? Okay, well, it's kind of a fallacy. It's kind of a funny statement when you think about God being upstairs somewhere, but God is not upstairs. He is right in here, right? Okay, so when we think about that, he's writing to these, and so the mystery is known even unto the Gentiles. It's available now that they can know that God is not out in outer space. God is in you. It's Christ in you. That's the hope of glory. That's the mystery of the gospel. So when Jesus said that he would come into us, and there's other scriptures we're going to read, but that's him going from, hopefully from that out here picture to in here. And it'll change the way you live when you realize that he is in here. Okay, the great mystery of God has been revealed to us. The deep, mysterious revelation of who God is, how he manifests himself, has been unveiled. You know, the Gentiles were representing the lost, the heathen people. They didn't know God, just like we were. I don't know about you guys, but how many thought before you came to Christ, before you received in him, the light goes on, how many thought God was out there somewhere? Okay, like he's out in outer space, and when we pray, we're praying to a God we can't see. He's out there somewhere. Okay, we don't have to do that. When I pray to the God within. God has come within me. He is right here. I don't have to shout. I don't have to scream. I don't have to do any of that. He's right here. I know that he is close. Okay, he's not far away. He's right with us. The great mystery is that when you believe on Jesus Christ, he comes into you and lives in you, so that you never have to be left alone to face life alone again. You remember the scripture in the Bible talks about in other places that Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. It's because he's in us. He's not watching from a distance anymore. He is literally within us. Look at John chapter 15. A lot in this chapter, but I just picked a few verses out of it, 4-7. Jesus said, abide in me, live in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself except it abides or lives in the vine, and no more can you except you abide and live in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. He said, if a man abide not in me, verse 6, he is cast forth as a branch and withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burned. But if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Okay? This is about realizing what's inside of you, that when you're praying, I'm not praying to somebody that I don't know if he's hearing me or not. I'm praying to Jesus Christ right here. He knows, he understands, he hears it. Okay, he's part of my life. That's how he knows what you're going to ask before you even ask. He's part of you, right? It's part of who we are. It's part of being together. It's part of having him inside of us. So with Jesus living inside of us, our life is now different. I don't think about life the same as I did before. I don't think about, you know, trying to please some God that's out there trying to do the right things. I don't do that anymore. The same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, the same power that parted the Red Sea, the same power that opened prison doors and closed the mouths of lions is in you. And according to what Jesus says in this verse, if you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. That means that this power, all that he is at your disposal because he is in you. He can come through and live these things out. We pray for people, and I pray for healing, and I've seen a lot of people healed over the years. But as we do, it's not me, it's not Mike, I'm somebody special. The Apostle Paul and Peter used to walk by and their shadow would heal people as they walked by. People would just want to get close enough that they could get there. It wasn't them that did it, it's the power of God. And if you remember at one point in Acts, it talks about that they were exalting Paul and Peter and these guys and calling them gods and stuff. And they said, no, this is not us. This is the power of God in us coming through. Okay, and they corrected them. They told them where that real power was coming from. Now, I have to warn you a little bit that just to believe that Jesus Christ lives in you is going to take faith. Okay, you have to believe by faith in something that you cannot see. But also, and likewise, to walk in your God-given victory, to walk in your authority, is going to take faith too. But with faith comes benefits. Okay? It's worth it. It's worth putting your faith in him. It's worth putting your trust in him. When the difficulties come into your life, faith is what is going to rise up within you, and it's going to remind you that he who is inside of you, he who is giving you the strength to endure, the one that gives you the power to overcome, is much greater, much more powerful than anything that could come against you. That is faith. Okay, this is coming at me, this is coming into my life, and I got this, but he who is in me is stronger than that. He who is in me is greater and more powerful than anything the world has to throw at me. 1 John 4:4 says that. It says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because, why? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Okay, the power of the devil, the prince of the power of the air, they call him the devil himself, he is not greater than God, and so greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Okay, he was reminding them with this scripture that they have overcome their adversaries. They have overcome the false teachers and the evil that was trying to come against them because the greatest power in the universe is in them. Okay, it's kind of like we talked a little bit on Wednesday night about how God has exalted the name of Jesus above all. Okay, he's above and beyond. He is over the top. He is, you know, he is the greatest ever. There is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. And at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, both things in heaven and things under the earth. Right? Jesus has this powerful, powerful name that just speaking his name causes demons to flee and to tremble and to run away. They can't stand to be around him. He's the Almighty God, the Son of God manifest for us here on earth, and now he lives inside of us. He has come to be a part of our life. Okay? Knowing that God is in you is also one of the most effective ways to deal with sins and temptations. Okay, things that will try to come against us, things that will try to, you know, to hinder us or to bog us down. Okay, it's not going to separate us from God necessarily, but there are things that are in our mind. If I slip, I trip, I fall, I stumble, now I don't feel so good with God. Okay, those kinds of things, even knowing that Jesus is in you is going to give you a strength to overcome that. I'll show you some things here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18 and 20. It says to flee fornication. Okay, and every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. And he says, what? Know you not that you your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have from God. You are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. See, the Spirit of God that is in you doesn't want to look at that stuff. The Spirit of God that is in you doesn't want to engage in those behaviors. The Spirit of God is pure and holy and righteous and just. It has nothing to do with those kinds of things. So when we tune our spiritual ears a little bit, we begin to listen to the Spirit, He will now lead us and guide us in a different direction. He will lead us in that narrow path, the straight and narrow path, that we're listening to what He has to say. Okay, the Spirit doesn't want to partake of those kinds of things. The Spirit of God is pure, holy, and righteous, and He is inside of us. Now you think about everywhere that you go, everything that you partake of, who goes with you? Right? As a believer, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, is with me. And so if I'm going into a place that, you know, I shouldn't, or if I'm engaging in something I shouldn't, the Lord is engaging with me. Okay, just if you think about a mama that's having a baby. Okay, you know, I had a friend back in my BC days, 20-some years ago, that I remember she was in a party crowd, right? Smoking weed and drinking and doing all that stuff. And she was 8-9 months pregnant. Oh, in fact, I know she was 9 months because she thought she was going into labor. But I watched her getting high. And actually, when she went into labor, she was high at the time. She had a baby not too long after, like a couple days later, she ended up having this baby. And that baby was never quite right, okay? Always was a little bit slow. I mean, even as he grew, I saw him raised till he was about 3 years old, and just never quite, you know, got the language stuff down, the walking, all that stuff took longer. It was just kind of, and you always just kind of wondered, I'll bet it was because mom partook of stuff, and guess what? When the mom gets drunk, what happens to the baby? They get drunk too, right? They're nursing on the same stuff. They're drinking the same stuff. They're eating the same foods, whatever. It's the nutrients that mom takes in that are going right to that baby. Okay, and so it's the same with Jesus. Now, He is in us, and if we allow Him to lead us and guide us to go in the right direction, He will do that. But as we engage in stuff, we're taking Him with us. We really are. And it's something, you know, gosh, He's not going to condemn you, send you to hell for it, but He's really with you. And I believe the Bible talks in places about grieving the Holy Spirit, and I think that's part of what that means, is that we grieve Him when we partake or we engage in things that are not of God. You know, that's part of where we're taking Him in there, just like that mama taking her baby into places like that. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16 says again, it says, "And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? Okay, for you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them, and I will walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." See, when you live from Him, and you begin allowing Him to live through you, He will steer your life into things that are of God. He will steer you into the things that are of that God is, you know, happy with. Okay, He will steer you in the right direction. He's going to lead you away from temptation. He's going to open the right doors and close the wrong doors. Okay, that's what He does. If we'll just listen to Him, He lives within us. I have the ability and the capacity to walk an upright life every single day, because I have Him inside of me. I have His ability in me. The Holy Spirit knows where to go, what to do, what to say, what not to say. Okay, the Holy Spirit knows. And so when we've got Him inside of us, when we are the temple, then we begin to live from the Lord. We let Him to live through us. Okay, Jesus has come into you. He has cleansed you. He has given you a new life with a new set of values, with a new set of desires. Things that might have been important to you or appealing to you as an unbeliever sometimes don't have that appeal anymore. And for me, I know it was almost instantaneous. I was in such a mess when I got saved that instantly there were things that I was engaging in that I just wasn't okay with. It's like, I gotta quit doing that. I don't like that anymore, because I felt it inside that I was grieving the Holy Spirit by engaging in some of those things. Okay, and so God will steer us in a different direction. Jesus has cleansed us. He went into the temple and He cleansed it of the evil and the self-centered desire. He got it out so that now if it tries to come back in, we can say, no, I don't think so. I don't like that. That's not who I am anymore. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. I have a new life in Him. And so as it tries to come, we're like, no, that's not who I am anymore. Okay, we don't have to give in to that. Okay? Jesus went into the temple, he cleansed it. The reference in the Gospels is Jesus going into the temple and casting out the money changers. You remember the scriptures? He casts out the money changers, he casts out them that were in the temple with wrong motives. Let's read that scripture in Matthew, kind of winding this down. Matthew 11, 15 through 17. And they came to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple. Okay, now did anybody invite Jesus into your temple? Okay, that's exactly what this in an allegory is referring to. Jesus went into the temple, and he began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple. And he overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. And he would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through that temple anymore. And he taught them, saying unto them, Is it not written, My house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. Okay, Jesus has come inside of you and cleansed your temple, cleansed your house, so that, and if you allow him to do so, he will not suffer or allow anything that is not of God into the temple anymore. That's what he did. He went into the temple, flipped over tables, got the guys out that had wrong motives, wrong desires, got it out of there, and then he says he would not suffer anyone to bring a vessel into the temple again, because that's what he was teaching, and that's what he said. I'm casting it out, now I'm going to keep it clean by not allowing that stuff in here anymore. That's what Jesus did for the temple. That's what Jesus did for the temple, right? The temple of God that you are. Okay, Jesus came inside, he cleaned you up, and now he's keeping us clean. Other places in the Bible, it talks about how the temple and the veil of the temple has been torn in two. You remember that? When Jesus died, the veil of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom, right? And it was something that he did as he cleansed the temple. We are now, as the temple of God, the veil has been torn in two so that we can now have free access to God. The veil is what kept people from going in deeper. It's from what kept people from seeing the Holy of Holies. It's that big sheet. They talked about a 3-foot-thick piece of leather, really, is what that veil was made out of. And so as they tried to come into that, they couldn't. They would get to the veil, and that's all the further that certain ones could come. But when the veil was torn in two, now there's free access to the Holy of Holies. God has taken the temple, torn the veil wide open so that we have access to God and he has access to us. Okay, I know that's kind of a different topic, but it's really the part of the temple. It's part of what God did by making us a temple. So we have become now, even the scripture we just read, a house of prayer. But the enemy is the one that wants to steal the great mystery from you. The enemy is the devil, the thieves that want to break in there and corrupt and throw in false desires and those kinds of things. You are the temple of God, and him being inside of you is that great mystery. Remember, that's what the unbelievers don't believe, is that God lives in them. As a believer, we receive the gospel. We receive the testimony that God now lives inside of us. The devil wants you to continue believing that God is on the outside and that he is not available for you 24/7. You know, only if you get down on your knees and do certain things and whatever, then God will be a bit... No, God is in you all the time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Never leaves you nor forsakes you. Begin to live from that place. Live from that understanding that what he has already done for you. As a temple of God, he has made you a place of prayer, a place of worship for God. You are a worshiper. That's the way God made you. That's what you were designed to be. We now serve God with our life day and night. There's one last scripture in Revelation chapter 7, last scripture today, 7:13 through 15. It says, One of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes? Anybody know Jesus gives us a white robe to cleanse us? Okay. And he said, Whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. He was asking a rhetorical question, in other words. He said, Thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white by the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. Okay? And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. This is about us being that temple of God and being worshiping him day and night, that we serve him day and night as a temple of God. Okay? And that, of course, Jesus dwells among us. He dwells in us. We need to stop waiting to start living right. Okay? Stop waiting for, you know, that $1,000 to be in your purse. Okay? If Jesus knocked on the door of your life and you opened it up to allow him to come in to sup with you, then the mystery of God, the empowerment in your life, empowering you to live righteously with him flowing through you, has been revealed to you. You now understand it's not about you and your effort. It's about allowing him to live through your life. You've already been given the gift of Jesus Christ. He is already in your wallet. He's already in your purse. He's already in your possession. And you can live from that to allow him to live out and to begin to utilize what's already been given to you. Living in victory, walking in the authority over sin and temptation, and continually serving and worshiping God is who you are. It's who he has created you to be as a new creation in Christ Jesus. You have Jesus Christ within. You have him in your life. So when you pray, believe that, receive that, think on that, that you know what? I'm not praying to some God in outer space. I'm praying to Christ within. He hears you. It's intimate. Intimate. That's what he did. He became intimate with us. Amen. Amen. Father, we praise you this morning. Grateful for your word and an understanding of it, Father, how you have made us a temple, that you have made us a place of worship, a place of a prayer, a place that communicates with you, and that you have torn the veil open, that we have free access to you, that you have made our life and cleansed it, Father, that you have done all the things that you needed to do that we may live out this life of the Christian faith, Lord. Do we believe on Christ? We put our trust in him and our hope in him, and we know that him living in us is the hope of glory. It is the mystery. It is what we came to, what we're a part of, Lord. We thank you that your hand is upon each one of us, Lord. I pray for understanding and revelation even as we leave here, Lord, that we'll continue to gain more and to believe and to receive all that you have done and all that you are on the inside of us, Lord. We praise you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.